All right, so we got Keith and Michael. We're walking down the streets of Toronto, lonely Toronto, late at night for drinking and such. And I thought we should discuss a little bit the ending of an era, the fucking, the laid-offedness of Scott Bromley.
Yeah.
So the GameSpy debriefings is basically, I mean, it can't be the same anymore.
Do you think he'll still be on?
He said on his Twitter that he'll be on at least one more. And I'm sure he'll show up on Rebel FM or they'll do stuff. Like, I'm sure he'll be around. But that specific show is over. And basically, let me just... Basically, I'll just to tell the long, boring tale. I just need someone here to listen to it. So,
I'm
sound
here.
Good?
All right. I'm here and I'm a big fan of Bromley, so I'm happy to be here.
So, our show, The Vinyl Countdown, is basically we sit around at a bar and we just talk about shit. And initially, it was about video games. But we would go out of our way to not talk about video games. Like, video games were just the framework, you know, the common reference point that we all have. Which, in a larger sense, I mean, we're all, like, 30, 31. The 80s, you know, that whole era. But video games are the real glue, but movies and all that stuff. And where, like, the reason we started as a video game show, let me take it way back. So when I was in New York... And my whole life was tied up in Keith and the Girl and that whole podcast and all my friends in New York. And then I moved back to Canada. It was like a void where I was like, this is weird. Like, all the people I used to hang out with are not around anymore. So I was looking for like a surrogate sort of thing, like surrogate friends. So I started listening to video game podcasts just because, I don't know, I don't even play video games that much. I don't care that much, but I'm interested. And I know these people, you know the same shit I know. They had the same upbringing. They know all the references I know. So I would just kind of dick around and listen to different shows and stuff. And, well, I guess it was right after EGM closed down. And they fired a whole bunch of people from 1UP. And I was like, wow, that's pretty crazy. So I started listening to Rebel FM when it first started. And Anthony Gallegos was on that show. And I started digging back into his back catalog. And that's when I found GFW Radio, Games for Windows podcast, that... Everybody kind of agrees was like the awesomest video game podcast at the time, and it ran for like 2 years, and then you know, everybody moved on to different stuff. And what made it so good was when they didn't talk about video games. It was him, Robert Ashley, and some other guys, and it was just a really awesome show. And I listened to every episode, even though, you know, it was all out of date. It didn't matter because it was them talking about their life that was awesome.
I have a story I've been wanting to tell you guys ever since the moment it happened, and I had no appreciative audience. And that was when I was flying to Dallas, Fort Worth for QuakeCon last week. And on the way there, a guy in the middle seat is a 74-year-old guy, and he's like taking up my armrest. And at first, I was like, oh, like, this is going to be fairly horrible. Thank God it's not that long of a flight. And then we start talking, and he says, you know what? He basically portrayed himself as like, you're sitting next to like a pillar of wisdom, and it's going to be idiotic of you to sit here and not like learn from me. So I was like, fuck it then, you know, I'm going to learn right now. So I started talking to him, but then I started to regret that because he was spitting on me the whole time. So I took my blanket and put that over my arms. And so the important thing here is I want to say he was a 74-year-old black man. And the only reason that the detail there matters is because you have certain assumptions about the kind of conversations you're going to have with people. It's very natural when you sit down with someone. This is going to be the range of our discussion. And in his case, I was just thinking, like, he's going to be thinking that the world has gone to hell in a handbasket, very much like my dad, you know? Like, I mean, he did. But in between all the insanity, in between him telling me that I would be stupid to marry a woman who's not 9 years my younger because I'm going to continue to get hard-ons and want sex, you know, and that she's going to dry up and hit menopause and all this other detail. Then it turns out he starts talking about playing Pogo, playing chess online. And so I was like, okay, listening to him, and he's way into chess. And the next thing he says, he's like, you know, he's like, I go on there and there's a lot of really good people. He's like, and they talk a lot of trash sometimes. And he's like, so what I do to those fuckers? He's like, I turn on that Pogo and I turn on this other computer I have, and it's got Chessmaster 3000
cheats
on it.
Oh my God.
And these guys, then I start talking shit on them. They put in a move. He's like,
oh,
I put the move in the Chessmaster. Chessmaster puts out the move, I put it back in on them. And he's like, they start screaming at me and yelling.
Oh my God.
He's a 74-year-old chess troll?
Yeah, dude.
Holy
and
shit.
And I was like,
That's awesome.
I was cracking up and like, I was like, that's totally amazing. But I couldn't tell him, like, I couldn't say, well, you know what? I pretty much like, I totally like condone this because I do the equivalent of it. It just went like, I could tell, I mentioned, I was like, well, that's funny because, you know, I work in games and stuff, and I could tell like right away, like it just wouldn't register. So I was like, yeah, that's a great story, man. But so that was pretty cool to find like a 74-year-old griefer on my flight.
That's wow. a great idea, actually.
And he tells
Never
people
of doing that.
He plays so much and he tries. It's just like, it shows you how universal this thing is, right? You know, in RTSs, we always talk about Smurf accounts. You go in and you don't want to have stats that say you played 10,000 games because no one's going to join you unless they play 20,000 and they'll kick your ass. So he has these really high stats, but he doesn't know how to make a new account or whatever the way it works. So what he does is he goes in and he tells people that he's playing in prison and that everyone in the prison shares the same account, shares the same fucking
What an elaborate story.
That's hilarious. Awesome. He's a determined 70-year-old gamer.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful, man, that you're using your brain like that and that you're on, you know, you're not deterred from playing online games.
And I burned through that summer. I just listened to those all the time, and it did. I guess it's what podcasts are for a lot of people. Is it's just like this other little, like just hanging out with the people that seem cool or listening in on their conversation. It's almost like you're part of the little gang, even though you're not. And after that finished, it's like when a band breaks up and you follow all the solo careers, but it's never the same as the band. Yeah. So I'd check everyone's shit out. Obviously, Robert Ashley kind of did the best with The Life Well Wasted, but he only did like 6 episodes. But I'd follow everybody to whatever they did next. And Anthony was one of those guys. And he got fired from 1UP and ended up getting hired by GameSpy. Which, like, who even remembered GameSpy was a thing? Like, back in the Quake days or whatever, that's what you'd use to log on to servers. I didn't know it was even still around. But it is, and they got a little website and their own little weird little thing just going on that no one gave a shit about, as far as I know. So I'd listen to the show just because Anthony was on it. And then the two Brians showed up, Brian Altano and Brian Miggles. And the show, you know, was entertaining enough. It wasn't too bad. Just listen to it. It was kind of funny, whatever. And then this guy, Scott Bromley, showed up. I got to look up what episode was his first, because it just on a dime, like, boom, the guy just ignited that show. Just made it so awesome. And it kind of turned into the new GFW radio, except even more so. Like, they really never talked about video games. And they just talked about crazy shit and just... It was just awesome. It was so good. And I feel like he made Brian Altano get funnier. Like he... And I don't know what happened to Brian Miggles. They never said. He just disappeared. But the show basically got super great. And it is totally the inspiration for Vinyl Countdown. Like 100%.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, just this idea of people just sitting around, just talking about whatever. But we're all from that same generation. We all remember Orion Pictures. We all like played Nintendo as kids. And I guess that's really all there is to the story, is that Bromley got laid off like a week or so ago, and everyone else is still there. Just, it isn't going to be the same without Bromley. And I don't know. That blows.
It does blow, but I think you tweeted him specifically, and I agree that, I mean, maybe this was just a start. He definitely has a lot of fans that he generated from this podcast. So I mean, maybe this is the boost he needs to go up to the next level.
Yeah, like,
I hope it is, because I'll follow him whatever he does next, I guarantee you.
Yeah, like, what I know of him isn't a lot, but like, he used to work in TV and he worked on some TV pilots and stuff, and nothing that ever quite caught on. Yeah. But just from being on the GameSpy debriefings, you can always kind of gauge people a little bit by Twitter followers, where I've got like 1,000. Keith Malley in New York, I think he's up to between three and four thousand. Bromley's got like 6,000, so that's not bad. It's a pretty good number. Like,
not bad at all. Yeah,
yeah, people know now. People give a shit. People are, I mean, if I even gave a shit about all these other video game guys that weren't nearly as fucking entertaining as Bromley, you know, I'm really keeping track of that guy. And I don't know, it's weird too, because hopefully he'll still show up on people's podcasts, or maybe he'll start his own show or something. But there was always something really awesome about the GameSpy debriefings and GFW radio, just because, you know, in the back of your mind, they're getting paid to do this.
Yeah.
Like, we do our show just in our free time, just as an excuse to hang out. But that was part of their job, and that always kind of made it extra good. Is like, they're just going on these crazy tangents and stuff, and it's like, how are they getting away with this, kind of? Like, the GameSpy debriefings, when I first started listening, it was this guy Stuart that ran it. It was a normal game podcast. It was very, like, serious.
That's funny because, yeah, from when the point when I started listening to it, like, they almost never talk about. It's like the only kind of game kind of talk is just Brothers, you get.
I'm sorry, we don't have anything. Sorry.
The only I get it. You just get the idea that this is coming from the lens of a video game fan, but like that's it, right? They're not talking about games really specifically or anything like that, and I like that. You know, they're just being real, kind of thing.
And it really had started to fall apart a little, like when the two Brians showed up, because they were just graphic designers. They didn't really keep up with games as much. And then Bromley, yeah, just like I remember, it was almost like it was weird. It was like a movie almost where they would threaten. Like, what's the guy's name? Will Tuttle. He's one of the main GameSpy guys. He's like, hey, I'm going to fucking send Bromley down here. Good luck, assholes. Because, like, Scott Bromley is on this other podcast, or he was, called the Nintendo Voice Chat, where they just talk about Nintendo shit. But they just didn't let him be himself, you know? Yeah. Like, I went back and listened to them, and they weren't the same. Where in the GameSpy podcast, because it's just this little offshoot of IGN, and no one paid attention to it, they could swear, they could do whatever they wanted. And, yeah, the guy just, you know?
Yeah.
So I guess basically that's all I'm going to do is just, I'm going to find some clips of stuff Bromley did that was awesome. Bromley and Altano really are like the comedy duo. And I'm just going to play a bunch of shit.
Sure.
Because, yeah. You know, it's the end of an era, you know? Another classic, like one of these little weird gems of a gaming podcast that just pops up out of nowhere and is just like, what a weird phenomenon, you know? And you know what else is just a weird... trivial thing, but it's really strange, is that both those podcasts, which were like hands down my favorite video game podcasts, like still worth listening to today, Ryan Scott was on both of them just by accident. Isn't that weird? I mean, I got nothing against him, but he's clearly not the one making these shows good, you know?
Yeah. He's definitely not the funny guy, but maybe a character like him is needed, you know, like the Odd Couple. You need the crazy guy, right. But you need like the straight man to, you know, to be the counterpart.
Back in the GFW radio days, like they literally, like he just wouldn't say anything until they brought up League of Legends or Lost, and then he'd like, so like those guys from that old show, now that they hear his new stuff, they're like, man, Ryan's really come out of his shell. But still it's just to be a whipping boy. It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's some video game podcast nerdery. But like, just since it's so unquestionable that the only reason we have this podcast and the way it is because of this one guy,
because of GameSpy debriefings, but specifically because of him and Altano.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, and again, I mean, Altano was there for a couple months before Bromley, and you know, it was Bromley. He was the fucking gasoline on the fire.
Yeah. Yeah, it is sad, but you know, it does leave me a little excited to see what he's doing. I hope he does start his own podcast, because I think he'd be a good front man.
Yeah.
I think. He could take the next step. I don't know.
Yeah, he's a good dude. It's weird, too, how, like, I always, like, just getting older, like, it's always people that I would, like, look up to are always older than me. I think Bromley's actually a year younger than me, so he's probably the same age as you. And it's so weird, because we're, like, the exact same age, basically, but I'm still just like, Scott Bromley, you know, like looking up to what this guy did, even though all he did really, I mean, so weird again, like he just showed up at the podcast because he's like their social media manager at IGN, just fucking showed up and started telling jokes, but I don't know, it just all worked out so well.
It's too bad he lost his job. Yeah. Well, has he said anything about his plans for what he's doing next or anything, or he's kept hush about that?
Yeah, I don't think so, because I didn't even realize immediately. I mean, I was gone for a week, so that's one reason I didn't notice, but but it wasn't, you know, nothing official has been stated. So, and I assume it's just basic layoffs, like with all those video game websites, it's just constantly people getting fired and rehired and shuffled around.
Yeah.
So without further ado, here's a bunch of shit of Scott Bromley.
All right, kudos, sir.
I love you, Scott.
Hello and welcome to the GameSpy Debriefings, episode 140. My name's Anthony Ayos. With me is Ryan Scott, who's
Hello.
Had three cups of coffee.
What?
And
what?
A line of cocaine before we started. And then there's also Scott Bromley.
I'm not Scott Bromley. I don't know what
Scott
you're...
Scott Bromley. What? See how I pointed?
Well, I'm sure everybody saw how
Everyone
pointed.
Saw how you pointed. Yeah. What's going on, Internet?
And Brian Altano.
Brap, brap.
Oh, look, here comes Brian Miggles. Internet's Brian Miggles.
Yo.
Yeah. Oh.
Should we talk about what's been going on lately?
Well, now that you know people will actually send
All right.
stuff.
Yeah, we didn't Altano and I didn't really believe the whole fucking bullshit, like, hey, ask for something and they'll send it to you. It happened. Altano and I said we wanted the worst alcohol on the planet. Goddamn, people fucking delivered. A bottle of sour apple pucker, because I have some very bad
memories. Is there even alcohol? I didn't think there was alcohol in that.
There's alcohol.
There's alcohol in it. Associated with being 18 and drinking anything with an alcohol content to get buzzed. I also included some Bud Light and Clamato that I found at Walmart for $1.97.
Now that is pure evil.
To explain to people at home, that is a beer that they fucking put
tomato
clam,
juice.
Clam juice and clam in. Clam in a fucking
clam
beer.
Juice.
Yeah. Clam juice.
Clam juice and tomato juice.
With beer.
In a beer.
Now, I just found out that shit existed, like, last year.
Yeah, chelada. It's a Mexican delicacy.
Oh, man.
For bonus points, mix it together and see how long you last before vomiting.
Mix it together.
Fuck you, Nick. That's not happening. It's going to get mixed together in our stomach, but not as a single drink.
We're all going to take turns puking on Ryan Scott's phone.
There were bars that did that back in the day where they would just, at the end of the night, pour everything into, like, one big pitcher.
And the all sorts barrel?
Yeah, it's like, here's your swill.
Didn't you tell me a story about, like, your dad's friend or something?
Yeah, my dad would do that. He grew up in Jersey City, and you could drink. It was like the Wild West. You could go to a bar at age 12 back then.
That was the...
Was Nucky Thompson still the mayor?
That was people that, like, ordered just the drip underneath the taps, right?
Pretty much, yeah. And they would mix everything together at the end of the night. All the things that were left sitting in cups, they would pour into one big pitcher and just be like, here you go, it's yours for, like, a dollar. And it'd be like whiskey, rum, wine, beer, everything mixed together.
And dude, you don't do that unless it's the apocalypse and you're trying to make it count.
It's some Book of Eli shit. Like you're walking around with it covered in rags and I'm like, fuck it, I'm drinking anything.
Like if the apocalypse was today, and I know Anthony and Ryan don't drink at all. If the apocalypse was today and shit was exploding,
I handed
you a drink, it wouldn't now?
No, you'd be dimming my wits. But once we had a safe compound where we were safe, I'd take a few drinks every now and then.
Oh, so we could celebrate the victory?
Oh, yeah. I'd drink myself into oblivion once we were in our safe little compound.
Anthony has talked about this at great lengths. You're, like, either the best / worst person to be with in the apocalypse. Because you talk about this all the time. You'll come to me and be like, do you think we would be friends in the apocalypse? I'm like, yeah, I hope so. And you're like, maybe, until I had to eat you.
Yeah, well, I just... the rule is the first person that ever makes a suggestion that we eat my cat, we eat them. When I bring my cat, and they're like, oh, man, I'm so hungry, we should eat my cat. I'm just like, yeah, we should, but let's sleep on it. I need one night with her. And then in the middle of the night, you just wake up with me naked above you with a rock in my hands.
Why are you naked?
Crushed, because I want that to be the last image in your mind.
Yeah, the last thing you see is a naked Mexican man above you with a giant rock.
And then I'd crush you, and everyone would wake up, and they'd be like, man, something smells like bacon. And I'd be like, yeah, it's Baltano bacon.
That's like a Bud Light Clamato commercial.
Do you think every Bud Light Clamato commercial is just a naked Mexican dude holding a rock?
The big rock.
Clamato!
I work at a dog rescue, and we had this dog named Big Bubba, who was like a big old junkyard dog, and he was like the sweetest dog, and everyone would always look at him, and I'd be like, oh yeah, Bubba's so awesome, he's house trained, he likes cats, and then without fail, that dog would suck himself off. Like, violently, other dogs like lick themselves, like, oh, yeah. I'm just keeping it clean. Like, this guy wasn't hiding it. I've never seen a dog actually put it in their mouth and sit there and just fucking vibrate, and this dog would just do it, and all these little children would be like, and I'd be like, oh God.
That's all the junkyard dogs know how to do. It's that, and they solve mysteries with cartoon cats, and they beat off the Rat Fink gang, and that's it. they throw a chain into the pulley system, and it breaks.
Would the dog finish? Else.
I have no idea.
What was his name?
Big Bubba.
Big Bubba?
Yeah, he got a home eventually. He got a home eventually.
I thought you said he got home eventually.
I mean, all the dogs will hump each other all over the place. Just,
well, yeah, they're dogs.
Yeah, just for dominance. Even if they're females, they'll hump.
Now, was Big Bubba sucking himself off in the corner? Was that like turning on the other dogs? They're like, oh, shit.
I don't think it works that way for dogs.
No, because you remember when you were in second grade and it was like the Down syndrome kid who would jerk off in the corner and you wouldn't be like, oh, I got to try that shit. It actually has an opposite effect. Do all animals do that? Like, did dinosaurs used to just...
I don't know.
Fucking, like T-Rex is like, I can't fucking reach. He's got his mouth on it. He's like...
You have to... No, but that totally...
Pterodactyls air fucking...
If I imagine anything, I actually imagine how the T-Rex would roll up on a big old tree and be like, that looks close enough to me, and fuck it.
Like, how, yeah, right? How does a T-Rex masturbate?
There's meteors hitting and killing his friends. He's like,
How the fuck did T-Rexes, like, how did dinosaurs...
He did a reach around with his tail.
No, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, he just dry humped a tree, a big-ass tree.
Just run up on a stegosaur and fuck his plates.
How did we get to this?
That's not...
The rest of humans...
That's how the dinosaurs died out.
The rest of humans aren't the sick ones.
Do raptors gang rape?
The rest of animals aren't the sick ones. Animals Clever don't girl. See other animals doing sexual things and think, well, it's time to beat off.
Monkeys do.
Yeah.
Not from seeing other monkeys.
The bonobo monkeys have... They have
I'm
wild
saying
sex.
Humans are the fucked up ones that are like, well... Be at home watching Animal Planet, and they'll be flicking through and be like, "Oh, rhino's fucking," and then they'll be like, "Oh, no, I'm thinking about fucking." Yeah. Only humans make that jump. Other like something else fucking, they think about fucking.
We don't
animals,
know that.
I don't think animals make the connection.
Maybe animals think about it, but they have like such a short attention span that they're like, "Oh shit, a leaf."
I threw a party once, and somebody fed my dog beer. And we didn't see him for like a half an hour. And I went downstairs to like get more beer. And I came upstairs.
And just as I'm
in bed with the chick?
No, he's on smoking a cigarette. That's my lady. No, he's down there and he's just hardcore fucking a couch pillow with a mouthful of chicken wings. Like he's like, and I was like, Jesus Christ, man. And he turned around and he was just like, they fell out of his mouth and was like, just fucking savage.
Sorry.
I used to have...
He's so chocolatey.
We used to have a friend who... we'd always be playing video games and laying on his floor, like playing Bushido Blade and stuff, and his dog, if he didn't watch, dude, it was like the fucking predator would leap up and try and hump your skull every chance it got. You'd just be like laying down playing games, all of a sudden... get attacked from the back like a mountain cat. And just be like, what's going on? Fucking dog's violating you, little rapist.
Red Rocket!
Oh,
yeah, I don't think
code.
A dog's ever tried to mouth fuck my head.
It's funny that animal rape is somehow cute, you know?
Oh, yeah. Have you ever seen ducks actually?
Ducks rape.
Ducks rape.
They're rapists. They group rape a female. We had a lot of ducks. We had a lot of ducks at... now, rape is a horrible... let's just clarify. Rape is a horrible thing. Nobody here thinks rape is funny.
No.
But...
Duck rape is kind of funny.
But it was ridiculous.
That's a little
I went
funny.
To UC Davis and there was ducks everywhere. And you would see like one female duck hauling ass across the lawn.
Yeah.
And like 14 male ducks being like,
and like
coming for
one
her.
One duck will
hold her down.
Hold her down by her neck. He like has his beak on her neck,
Jesus.
Pinning her down while the other ones are running a train on her.
That is true.
Wow.
So like fucking think about how Huey, Dewey, and Louie were made.
Yeah.
Like that shit was not romantic at all. That was accidental.
Somebody tied Daisy to a train track. What? Who said that? Where do you go from there, really?
Well,
what games are you guys playing?
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, have people been playing any games?
You were on The Price is Right.
Yeah.
So did you have to play some dumb games with Bob Barker?
Yeah.
What did you play?
I played Master Key.
Yeah?
Master Key is a game where you have to... there are five keys and three locks. One opens flatware. The other one opens up a curio cabinet. The other one opens a car. And there's one key that opens up all three and one key that opens up nothing. So when I'm on the show, they're introducing all the prizes that I have to guess the price on to win or the other prizes. And Bob's just over at me going, oh, Scott... I don't want to get you down or anything, but this is one of the hardest games we have on the show. It's all about dumb luck. There's no skill involved. And we're back! Here we go. And I'm just sitting there staring into the camera going, what the fuck just happened? So then they're like, Rod Roddy, when he was still alive, was like, oh, the first item up for bid is a serving tray with a chicken on it. Retail price, $19 or $27. Like, that's $19.
Yeah, I wonder if Bob just like freaks people out,
he
you know, like quietly
no,
before each game
Bob
like starts.
Bob legitimately freaked me out, not for what he said, but like... up close, it's just this orange makeup all over his face, and then there's a line right at his hairline, and his hair is thin. It's really thin.
You can
thin
see his actual
front,
skin color.
And you can see his skin color, and it's just fucking old man all the way back, like liver spots and just scabs. It was disgusting.
Oh.
Wow.
All right.
And that was all I could stare at the whole time I was on stage. I was like, you are old.
So did you get the wrong key right off the bat?
Yeah, the first key didn't open up the flatware, didn't open up the curio cabinet. I'm like, oh shit, I'm fucking getting a car. This is it. I'm getting a Saturn. I'm excited.
Yeah.
And then I got nothing. And then the second key opened up the flatware, and I'm like, oh fuck, this is the master key. Let's skip that curio cabinet, go right over to the car. Nope.
So you didn't win. You didn't win anything.
I won the flatware, the curio cabinet, the serving tray with the chicken on it, the Conair Corekeeper dryer, and a 10-karat gold watch from the Jules Jurgensen.
They gave you an actual whole chicken on a plate.
No, it's a serving tray with a painted rooster on it.
Oh,
but you didn't.
That's fucking useless.
You didn't win the car.
I did not win the car, but I spun 90 cents on the wheel, and that wheel is fucking heavy.
I was gonna say, yeah, just for doing that much, you got to come back to the main event.
Yeah, I was the big winner on the. Of the, well, I lost, but I won the most stuff that time, so I was the last one.
I have
to
see a video of this now.
Oh, yeah. I was clocking in at a trimmed, like, 285 at the time. It was a thing of beauty.
Did you go apeshit when they called your name?
Oh, fuck. I was the first name they called.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
So, the first name
there's
you
a lot of people in that audience, right?
You like, could,
the
chan- you
the
like,
chances that you get out chances, actually on the show yeah. are very, slow, very
well,
small.
Well, what happened is you have a five-second interview before everyone in the audience has a five-second interview with the producers, and all they ask you is your name, where you're from, and what do you do? And so I'm, you know, a big fat guy. I'm like, I'm Scott Bromley. I'm currently a sophomore at the gorgeous California Institute of the Arts in Valencia, California. And I can do this. And I grabbed my stomach and shook. And I was like, oh. But for as long as I could hold my breath out. And they're like, all right, that's great. Next group. And apparently they were still talking about me when my next group of friends, because I went with like 35 people from school, and they're like, dude, you're fucking on. You're getting on the show. And I'd been up for 48 hours. So I was like, oh, fuck, really? I got to be animated? Okay. Then we get in there, they do their whole spiel, and you can't hear shit. In the beginning, like the first four people, they have to hold up a sign, and you can't hear Rod Roddy announce anything. And so the crowd's going wild, you know, the camera's all zooming all over the place, and then they hold up a sign that says Scott Bromley, and you can see me look at my friend and go, holy shit, I can't believe this is fucking happening. Woo! And then ran down
nice.
There. And,
yeah.
Did you guys see those photos of Demi Moore's vagina?
No.
From 20 years
okay,
ago? Talk about buckwheat in a
okay,
leg lock.
the fur hat?
Yeah. The they were from We Magazine.
Yeah.
Not W-E-O-U-I, the French oui-oui magazine. The guy whose letter that we read on the podcast last year, mm-hmm. or last week, who wrote into IGN Do Power, I planted that letter because he was a friend of mine. I mean, I didn't plant him sending it to me, but I read it
right
on the air. But when we were in high school, he had that issue
yeah.
of naked Demi Moore. We were looking at his house.
Yeah,
naked Drew Barrymore was the fucking prize back in the day for us. The
no,
play.
This, is Drew this is Demi Moore.
Demi Moore
was on what, General Hospital. Or
that's
something.
Huge, though.
In Demi Moore 82. Had a she had a fucking Norwegian troll doll
pre boob job. This was pre-Demi Moore.
Pretty sure you remember the Playboy with Drew Barrymore?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm pretty sure she was shaving.
I got a piss
Drew Barrymore?
So bad.
Yeah.
You piss?
That was,
piss.
Dude.
We got this.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
We'll hold down the fort.
All right.
That got passed around the entire high school, I guess?
Yeah.
Was it middle
Spielberg,
school?
Spielberg.
It might have been middle school.
Spielberg did the special effects on Demi Moore's vagina.
No,
see, those pictures look like Kid and Play were going down on her. Let's just do it. Let's do a little Lana Rama right now. What do you got?
Oh God!
It looked like the litter in Beethoven's Fourth.
It looked like a Mogwai when it was being born.
It looked like Harry and the Hendersons when he fell down the basement stairs.
It looked like the wig that the grandfather was wearing in Christmas Vacation.
It looked like the beard of that infomercial dude that died.
It looked like the lead singer of ZZ Top.
Oh, God.
looked like a billy goat stuck his head out of her vagina.
Come
it
on,
looked like, it looked like all the brushes of Pearl paint combined into one triangle.
Oh, God. Fuck. It
looked like Abe Lincoln when he took his hat off.
I can't fucking.
Look like a Wookiee's knee.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God.
Should we just I think we should stop it right there.
Looks like Zangief's chest hair.
Fire! It looked like the cover for Young Einstein with Yahoo Serious's hair when he gets electrocuted.
Welcome back, Anthony. We had a little derailment right there.
It looked like Bill Cosby in the 70s.
Looked like somebody shaved a bear and left a triangle.
What? We were just talking about Demi Moore's vagina. I'm sorry.
Oh,
welcome back, Anthony.
That was fun.
It looked like she was riding a horse the wrong way.
Yeah. Looks like a Dorito took Rogaine.
Jesus. It's like someone dropped a slice of cherry pie in a barber shop.
You can send letters into us at podcast@gamespy.com. I'm so sorry.
But that brought up an interesting question I had for like Ryan Scott or anyone else. What was the worst video game you got for Christmas? Or any, like, because you brought up Deadly Towers. Your parents got you Deadly Towers.
Yeah, it was awful.
I got Ghostbusters for the NES.
Oh, God, that game sucks. You can't even finish it.
I got
right.
One.
You can't even finish it.
I got Fester's Quest for the NES.
Oh, God.
God, that was awful.
Wait, did your parents think you were a huge Addams Family fan?
I played the shit out of that game, despite how hard it was, too, just because, you know.
What kid was just, like, dying to have an Addams Family game? Now, keep in mind, like, Raul Julia movie was years away.
Yeah. I can tell you why this happened. My family was not very well off, and I guarantee you what happened. It was the same year they bought an NES, and I guarantee you it was just that it was cheap.
Yeah?
Yeah.
The weird thing to me, though, is even then, all walks of life had to judge video games based on their covers, and
right.
That cover to that game specifically was a rotting, fat, old, bald man zoomed into the camera making the most hideous, like, I just came into a goat face with a fucking giant spider on his forehead. He's just like, show me your tits.
But my parents know who Fester is.
Put your tits on the phone.
I'm going to shoot you with my plunger and your tits.
But they knew who Uncle Fester was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God damn it.
I think the worst one I got that way was my grandmother gave me Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Video game adventure. Have you ever fucking played that game?
That was a bad game.
I have.
That game is awful. It's like a hardcore RPG with two party dudes, and it doesn't control at all.
Game is awful.
It had that weird, like, isometric,
like, looking like you're jumping over fences but tripping, and then you can't walk on grass, but you can walk on gravel because I guess if you touch the grass, it fucks up the space-time continuum or something, and you're collecting.
And it doesn't give you any clues?
No.
To anything?
It just
ever?
Says, go. And you're like...
And you have that phone booth?
The phone booth that
mini
you're
trying...
Minigame? Yeah. Oh, it's fucking terrible. But I would play it over and over again because it'd be like, holy shit, the graphics on this are amazing when they have the word bubbles. That really looks like Bill. That really looks like Ted.
I don't think we really knew back then what shitty games were.
No.
Like, I think it was just like any game you put in front of us, it was like, hey, this isn't as good as Mario. But we were never like, this is fucking awful. Like, there are so many games you go back and you look and you're like, Back to the Future 2 and 3, fucking awful.
Yeah.
Fucking awful games.
I knew that. No, there's some where you just knew at the time.
Like what?
Back to the Future 2 and 3.
I still played it. Like, my friend had it, and I was like, I love those movies.
Just like I played a ton of Friday the 13th, even though I knew that game was bad.
Yeah. I rented a ton of games. That's how I was exposed to it. But I mean, like, I would just go and pick, like, well, this looks cool. What's this random game? And I got exposed to some of the worst garbage.
Well, because then when you, usually for me, when I was renting games, they didn't even have the fucking boxes. It was just like, they put it in a plastic case.
A clear plastic case.
Just said on the front, like, Bubsy. And you're like, oh, well, what could go wrong?
What could possibly go wrong?
And then you play it and you're like, this is the worst shit I've ever played. But yeah, it was tough, man.
Or if you have Asperger's, you attach to it like a fly on shit and play it for 3,000 hours.
Yeah,
bumbling.
You know, all the games we mentioned, with the exception of Deadly Towers, are all like movie tie-ins too. Even back then, movie tie-ins.
Yeah, the Bubsy movie was awesome.
No, I mean the Christmas games.
You know what game I liked for NES? Monsters in My Pocket.
Well, that game was awesome.
Yeah,
I had the toys. I didn't have the.
I had a ton of the toys too. That's why I played the game, and I was like, "This game's awesome."
That was such a great idea they had to get kids to buy fucking 900 of the same toy,
right?
In different colors, and you'd be like, "Well, you could see one of them, but the rest are a mystery." And you'd open it up, and you'd be like, "I have three of these already," and then you didn't know what to do with them.
That was another weird thing. Like when we were kids, they would hand out these toys. They would sell toys for I don't know, like $7 muscle, and it was. It was just like a shitty one color toy. It wasn't even painted, articulated.
Muscle Men.
Yeah,
ton of them.
Or anything. And we would just buy tons of them.
They're all
pink. I had a ton of Muscle Men. I had a ton of Monsters in My Pocket. And I also had a ton of these other ones that were short lived.
Visionaries?
Called like Trash Something. And it was like, and the whole thing. This is quite true, by the way. And so maybe one of the commenters will remember they came in little. Trash
oh
bags.
Shit! I remember.
And you put them in water, and the bag
dissolved.
And the guys were there.
Yeah, but they would just like.
I remember those. Wow. Holy
fucking,
shit!
Whoever came up with those toys is. I know they're living on some fucking island, still laughing that they're like, ha ha ha! I made a fucking shitty mold and poured a penny worth of plastic or rubber into the mold and made $1 billion.
You couldn't do that. You couldn't sell kids toys anymore that don't fucking move.
No. No way. There is no fucking way that kids would... Look, even the shitty toys that kids are gobbling up, like Beyblade or whatever, however the fuck you say that, it's got a million points of articulation. It springs out of nowhere. Like, there is no more, like...
Well, do you remember those wrestling action figures? Not the big rubber ones, but the ones they made after that.
They were like 6-inch plastic ones, and they had arms that could move.
And there was only really four different types of them.
Right.
But, like, every single one was like... So you'd be like... Oh, cool, I got Jake the Snake. When you pull back his arm, he does a punch. Or like, oh, cool, Ultimate Warrior can hold somebody up and throw it down.
Yes.
And then you get, like, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, and all he could do is this fucking weird, disgusting hop where his legs folded into his body and pushed out on a spring.
Yes.
And that was fucking it. So you could never do any leg moves with him or anything like that. And you'd be like, oh, cool, they made Kamala. He's the Ugandan giant. I'm going
to
pick him.
You were really supposed to just bash them against each other.
I know. It's fucking ridiculous. Every time they put out a figure I wanted,
shit up.
And it would be like the spring mold, I'd be like, why? Motherfuckers, you blew a great opportunity. And they had that wrestling ring that like was hard as a rock.
I never had the wrestling ring, but my friend did. My friend, I was never the kid that had the really badass things, but I always lived right across the street from the kid who was. So, you know,
he lived across the street from the kid who was in every commercial who actually had Eternia.
Yeah, exactly. He had Castle Grayskull. Yeah. He had all that shit. So
but his backyard was an actual forest with
He was the only one in our neighborhood who did have a backyard with a little running river, by the way.
Are you fucking kidding me?
And
it's where they shot that commercial, Scott.
And he had a fort, a homemade fort his dad had made him with like hatches that opened up to go through and stuff like that.
What back lot did you grow up on?
I'm just telling you, like,
that's
you grew up in the universal back lot?
He just had the shit. His parents spoiled the shit. He was always the guy that got a Super Nintendo Day One.
Was he an only child?
He was the only boy. There was one boy and one girl, and they're about 4 years apart.
Oh, the girl have a canopy bed?
Probably.
That's how you knew kids were rich in the 80s, if the girl had like a
prison. Yeah, every time they were like, oh, we went over to my friend's house, that's his sister's room or whatever.
They ran the local jewelry store, the only jewelry store in our town.
Oh, Jewish.
So
it did sound like you said Jewry.
Was that a mistake?
I don't know. We'll just leave it. We'll let it just sit there
and
marinate.
Yeah.
Stick it in and let it chill.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Did you ever have the Ninja Turtle toys?
Hell yeah.
Of course you did.
Because I used to collect them and I bought every single one, but the day I stopped was when I went in Toys R Us and they were like, here's this new one. He's a giraffe and he has a basketball net stuck around his neck.
That one I don't remember.
That's, I was like, nope, I'm out. You guys jumped the shark.
One of the final ones I had was this guy that looked like he was like melting out of his suit, and one of his feet was a sewer lid. And
you could put water in.
You could put goo. He came with a little thing of goo.
Yeah,
at like Gak or something, and it would come out of him if you pushed.
That's disgusting.
That was another thing.
They did that with every toy back then. They're like, "Go fuck up your carpet, you stupid kid."
I was gonna say, like, that was another like billionaire island somewhere. Yeah. Is the guy who came up with Nickelodeon Gak?
He's like, "Yeah, we'll just give him a bunch of ooze. Yeah. These kids a gallon of ooze.
I'm gonna give him a gallon of ooze. I'm also gonna open up a carpet cleaning company across the nation. This is gonna be sweet.
Yeah, that, actually, if you looked at the yellow pages in the '80s for underneath. Like carpet cleaning, it was like stains, you know, damage,
Nickelodeon Gak,
Nickelodeon Gak, ooze removal,
giraffe.
Yeah, it was like, get it? He's tall. He got his head stuck in a basketball net.
You know what? I also
fucking
love,
dumb toy.
Fucking when we were kids, like, even they built the toy companies knew we were all fucking idiots.
Yeah,
and they built toys specifically designed to destroy our toys so we would have to buy more.
Yep.
Like, He-Man had a torture chamber that they're like, here's a great idea. Fucking pour slime in this skull so it will slowly drip on Moss Man and fucking ruin him.
Yeah.
And, like, so you have this one character who they're like, this is the guy you always have to interrogate is Moss Man because he's covered in fur and he hates slime. So you fucking put him in there and then you cover him in slime and you're like, oh, fuck, it looks like
disgusting.
This looks like the thing that the guy in the van tried to show me. And you're just like trying to pick it out and it's not working.
That's like they never tell you on the box that there's a day in every G.I. Joe's life when his penis breaks.
Yeah.
I also want
every single G.I. Joe, someday you have to go up to your mom and be like, Ma, his penis broke.
I also want to go back and punch my mom in the face for telling me to put nail polish on some of my Star Wars figures to know which ones were mine and which ones were my brother's.
Oh, right?
Oh, my God.
She was like, oh, I know how we can make sure we know which ones are yours. Just put nail polish on one of their feet.
I would always...
And so I would have these ones that are like fucking...
I fucking hated that because I had two brothers and like I would get like Lino or whatever from Thundercats and my brother would cry until he got one. And then it'd just be two Linos in the house and you're like, this never happened. This never happened in the show. They never walked into some sort of alternate future dimension where there's two of these guys both wielding swords at the same time. Fuck you. And then I would like just take his and get it really scuffed up and I'd be like, he's the bad shadow version. And you're not good at taking care of your toys.
I know what you mean though about the G.I. Joe's dicks breaking off.
Yeah, they always break.
The little hinges at the bottom, the rubber bands at the bottom of their crotch.
That's the worst part of for any mother in the '80s was sitting there and trying to assemble the waist back onto the rubber band to the legs because it was like a hook connected to a rubber band penis inside the plastic underwear that connected to the body, and it was impossible to put back together. So my mom would just glue it.
It wasn't that hard because I used to mix my G.I. Joe parts up all the time too.
Really? Yeah. I did that with.
I used to unscrew them, disassemble them, put the parts back in, reassemble.
I would
and
do that.
If the rubber band broke, I would take a newspaper rubber band and double wrap it.
I would do that with He-Man was the best for that because
their arms and their heads came off.
This isn't Skeletor. This is Skeletor. Buzz off, Thunder Fisto, bam.
But you couldn't? Could you swap out their legs?
Yeah, I think you could swap out their legs.
I don't know. I didn't play He-Man.
Swap out their arms and their heads.
He-Man was for babies.
He-Man was for babies.
The manliest thing ever made was for babies.
What
he rode a lion.
He wore. Like fucking hair for underwear.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You can't get more.
I'm sure when your
that.
Dad saw you playing with He-Man figures and then saw you playing basketball, he put two and two together.
Oh, what you know were what, you fucking playing with?
I don't know.
Your dick?
Mechs? Well, yeah.
You know, the He-Man toy line was originally intended to be a Conan toy line.
Mm. Oh, good. I'm glad because that shit would have bored me to tears.
Yeah, what? You get a fucking James Earl Jones figure that slowly like cranes his neck out and turns into a snake.
Actually, that sounds like the greatest action figure ever made.
So your parents came and visited Altano?
Oh man, yeah, that was interesting. I've been living.
Did they stay with you?
They stayed with me actually.
Oh wow!
Well, my apartment's big enough so that I have. I mean, Scott's seen it, but I have a pretty nice place.
Yeah, but do you have a spare bed?
Yeah, I do. I have a spare bedroom.
With the bed in it?
With the bed in it, yeah. So basically, my parents came to visit for the first. I've been out here for like a year and a half now, and My parents love to travel, but they have never, just for whatever reason,
been to California.
Been to California. Well, no, they've been to California, but they had never been to visit me in San Francisco. And, you know, when I lived in New York, they lived in New Jersey. I saw them all the time, so we're real close. You know, I'm Italian, so it's impossible to go a few weekends without seeing my mother and having so they came out here, and that was one of the first things my mom did. Was we were out to dinner and I burped and she slapped me in the back of the head. And I'm like, I'm turning 30 years old on Saturday, and I'm like, Mom, you're in my house. Like, here I live with my girlfriend. It's a home. I don't even have an apartment number. Like,
wait, you burped in your own house and she hit you?
And she hit me as if I was out to dinner with the queen.
I think at some point as an Italian man, you can hit her back.
Yeah. Well,
when you turn 30, for your birthday, I will give you a wife beater. You can just wear it around the house. Now.
Oh!
Hey! Hey, what the fuck's going on here, ma? Why don't you shove a fucking meatball down your gullet and shut
I'm actually,
your face?
For my mom's birthday, I'm going to hit her in the face with the lasagna. Just slap her right in the face.
And then your cat Garfield is just going to be down there going, oh, I hate Mondays. Yeah.
He's going to be mad that I wasted so much lasagna.
The final letters from Hunter.
Sup, Hunter?
This is the last letter.
He says, I have a question, Altano. Sup, Altano?
Hey.
Do you have any tips for getting into SVA?
Don't.
I am doing the whole application thing, and I would like any tips. Also, do you have any insight into Pratt? I am getting a photo major, if that matters.
Actually, Pratt is a fucking awesome school. My mother went there. I got into there.
What is SVA for us?
School of Visual Arts in the Lower East Side of Manhattan. It's a great school. Like any art school, make sure your portfolio is fucking ridiculous.
Yep.
Make sure you don't have like three of the same things. Just have 30 different things. Spread them out. When you get in there, bullshit. Tell them all these batshit off the wall thesis ideas. Like I went in to specifically when I got an SVA. Are you making a paper airplane?
I'm just listening to your story. Continue.
Making art while you're talking about art school.
Good.
It's fucking meta.
You're
being inspired.
I went in and they're like, well, what do you plan on doing here? And I was just like, you mean aside from what I did already? They're like, well, yeah, you know, we want to hear some ideas. And I was like, I want to mix medieval art with graffiti. And they were like, that's genius. And I was like, I just fucking made that up. That's insane. And they were like, this is great. We're gonna get you in on like on this and that and scholarship. And
so what you're saying is the art world really is bullshit.
Oh my God, the art world's total bullshit. Yeah. Like I lived with an art major at Cal Arts, and he would just project images of like Stalin and Mussolini and then trace over them. And then I'd be like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, I'm just tracing them because they look cool. I was like, does it mean anything? He's like, nah, fuck it. I just make up what it means when they want me to.
I used to tour with my shit. I would take a painting to three different classes and be like, hey, this represents hell. Hey, this represents
your shit
America.
Didn't mean anything?
No, it's fucking art. Art doesn't mean anything to anyone.
Like if I draw a picture of an alien behind like a wall with graffiti on it, like what the fuck does that mean? Nothing.
That's the fucking thing that always angered me about school when you would go into a class and you would read a poem and like your teacher knew exactly what the fucking author was trying to interpret with this. And I like 9 times out of 10, I bet when Edgar Allan Poe is writing a fucking poem, he's just writing it. It means nothing.
Yeah.
There is no subtext in it at all. He's just fucking writing.
I used to have this conversation with my AP literature teacher in high school all the time. She'd be like, no, Anthony, we have to interpret the meaning. And I'd be like, why?
Why?
It's fucking dumb.
How otherwise, you don't have
stories,
a class. And
how
she
many fucking
have a
stories or poems have you written that there's subtext in? Fucking zero. Who does that? No one.
Nobody cares.
Nobody gives a shit. Like Shakespeare was thinking about fucking man versus the Greeks and like nature versus nurture. No, he's fucking writing about two fucking teenagers falling in love.
That's why I was always like one of those say nothing motherfuckers. Like I would come in, just put all my shit up on the wall, sit down and be like, bleh.
Yep.
And if they asked me like what it meant, I'd be like, look cool. It's a fun career. My favorite SVA story still, and I'll say this really quick, was I was taking the bus in from Jersey one time, and the bus driver saw me with my canvas and everything like that. And he's like, oh, it's really cool. Where are you going? I'm like, School of Visual Arts. And he was like, I graduated from there. So there's always that. You could always drive a bus.
John writes in and he says he was inspired by you to lose weight a while ago. Right.
Okay.
So basically he is he's melted off 88 pounds so far.
Okay. Right?
But he's still 10 pounds away from the way he'd like to be.
Okay.
But the problem he has.
Oh, he's got the melting lion face on his stomach.
He has the melting lion face. He says, Bromley, do you have a gunt?
Yeah.
How do you fix this shit? Will losing the extra pounds take it off?
You, got a FUPA?
Yeah, no, it will not take it off. You need to get that surgically removed or just don't care about it. I used to be really, really self-conscious about it, like when I would be with women for the first time. But then I realized it was actually my current girlfriend who told me this before we were dating. She said, you know, there's a point when you're with a girl where it doesn't fucking matter.
Once she wants your clothes off, she really doesn't care.
She doesn't care what it looks like. So just fucking own it, you know? I own it.
Once you make out with her, pretty much, the deal is sealed as long
as you're once you're about to have
asshole.
Sex with a girl, it doesn't matter if you take off your shirt and there's a melting lion on you. It's actually it's actually even better because when she wakes up, you're like, haha, you just hit rock bottom. At least that's what I did.
Sorry, my girlfriend just texted me, I love you, so I went to text her back, I love you, and I accidentally texted, I live you. Which
leave
is
it.
Just weird.
Yeah. Just leave it.
I live you.
I'm going to wear your face tonight.
I am you.
Oh, man. Speaking of dogs, I just want to give a quick shout out.
Don't give a shout out to a fucking dog.
You know, maybe I will.
Benji, what's up?
I had a dog named Guru. He was 11 years old, and he just passed away the other day. It got me thinking, we tell a lot of piss and shit stories on the air here, but I don't think I've ever told this story that my dog Guru did when I lived in New York. Me and my roommate were playing Smash Brothers. Have I told this story?
Yeah, when you walked in on him and he was...
When what?
I don't think
when
so.
When he was eating chicken bones? And fucking a pillow? No, this is not that story. That was when he got really excited at the party. He was an awesome dog. So we were playing Smash Brothers, and it just came out for GameCube. It was like one of those, we had no money, traded all our other games to get it, and we could not put the controllers down. It was just like, dun, 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 dun. And my dog's like, and we're like, yeah, hold on, man, hold on. We'll take you out for a walk. So we're up on like the second or third floor, and we always had a window open that had a fire escape. So Guru, like, I guess he had like the world's worst stringy diarrhea because he used to go in the trash and probably eat ropes and all that shit. And so we
it comes out like sausages.
Yeah,
sausages
exactly. Like, eat a row of Christmas lights. It comes out with cookies stuck to each one. Looks like a fucking can of peanut butter with a snake in it. So we're playing, and all of a sudden we realize he jumped out the window. And then he looks back at us, does this squat like he's the Fonz.
Like, he jumped
I swear,
out of
both his paws were in the air, and he's like, hey! And like, shaking his ass, moving his legs, like this crouch where he could barely hold himself up, so his back like trembling. And he dropped like 3 feet of the stringiest, nastiest beige shit I'd ever seen all over my front steps. My front stoop. This was living in New York.
But I don't get... You lived on the third floor?
Yeah. So shit, it just dropped.
But where did he jump out of?
He jumped out on the fire escape.
Oh.
So it just dropped all over. And the thing was, it didn't hit just the fire. It didn't hit just the steps. It didn't hit the stoop. It hit the handles like that you walk up. And it looked like someone dropped a wet rag right in the middle. And it was just like... flopped over each side, and then we had this like fucking this Billy Madison moment where we look down the street and we see this nice old lady who used to bring us brownies, and she's walking up the street like really slow, and she's got her hand out trembling because we know she's gonna put her hand on the handrail, and we know she's gonna step and slit and shit and slide off and die. So we got up, scrambled, ran down there as fast as possible with like old t-shirts and rags because we didn't have any money for paper towels or anything. So it's like a bucket of water, t-shirts and rags, ran out there, threw it like cartoon clown, and got to try to wash off everything. And the second she walks up, we're like, put our hands behind our back. She's like, oh, boys, I made you brownies. And walked in and we were like,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. In 2007, I had mono and didn't know it. And my spleen ruptured. And basically, if your spleen ruptures, you are supposed to die. And doctors are not supposed to operate on you. You're dead. It's a death sentence. Like, less than 1% of people that this happens to survive it. So I'm in the hospital, dying on the table. And my sister, who's a nurse, was there yelling at the doctors like,
just fucking try and save him. Try and save him. And so they cut me open. They pump me with 17 units of blood and fill my body with blood. I can't process it, so they're just continually pumping it in. And 17 units is a body and a half full of blood. And I lost all of this in 2 hours. Flatlined, died, went to the other side, saw it, whatever. Anyway.
Respawn.
Yes.
Son of a bitch.
Well played, sir.
There was a girl that I had briefly dated before this whole thing happened. And it was really kind of heavy and intense, but she had decided that she was going to go with her ex-boyfriend instead of me. Now, she had found out
that you had died.
That I had died. Well, what happened was I wasn't returning her phone calls or her emails because I was in the hospital. I went in on a Monday, woke up on a Thursday with a breathing tube down my throat. You know, don't remember any of those days at all. She found out I was in the hospital, found me, was so heartbroken and wrecked over this. And I was like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, I'm so weak. Shit's like Spanish Fly, man. Just tell her you died. Tell her you went to the other side.
All right, as of this recording, that is a wrap on the GameSpy Debriefing's Scott Bromley version. He made his first appearance on episode 119, and his last appearance, so far, on episode 169. So it was a hell of a fucking ride, man. I definitely recommend looking up the GameSpy Debriefings, and if you got time to kill, you're looking for something to listen to, you got a road trip, you really can't do better than this show. It was a fucking fantastic show. So I hope anyone who hasn't heard that stuff before enjoyed it, and anyone who has heard it before, you know, I hope it was a nice little reminder of how awesome the Scott Bromley era was. Like I said at the start, this podcast we do, literally we wouldn't do it if it wasn't for Scott Bromley's influence on the GameSpy Debriefings. I can't overstate it. That guy just influenced the fucking shit out of me. So, Scott, I'm sure you will land on your feet, and I hope whatever you end up doing next is even awesomer than what you did before. You know we're all rooting for you, and we all have your back. And if you ever want to do that podcast about your spleen blowing up, just drop me a line, man, because that is a crazy fucking story. Thank you, and good night.
Kenny writes in, he says, I live in Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm sorry.
And it is Midwest as hell.
It sure is.
Bromley was talking about eating at Perkins. We have those in Wisconsin as well.
But if you really
want to see gluttony at the best, check out Culver's. It's the Midwest idea of a classy restaurant.
Oh, I don't even want to
know. The regular ass hamburgers are called Butterburgers because on top of a double hamburger with cheese, they toss a fucking pat of butter on it.
What?
Then you can get this beast with a side of fried cheese curds.
What?
Cheese curds are essentially little balls of cheese covered in battered and fried up.
Oh, my God. I feel nauseous right now.
Plus, Culver's is known for shakes made with custard that are pure.
Oh my God.
Oh.
He says, I can practically hear Ryan Scott drooling.
Oh no.
Ryan.
Custard?
Culver's motto might as well be, fuck it, you're already a fat bastard. Let's take it to the next level.
Welcome to Culver's. Fuck it, here we go.
You guys like bacon balls with Parmesan cheese, deep fried marinara sticks?
Hi, y'all. Welcome to Culver's. Here we got a hamburger. It's covered in butter. Then we'll throw on some
what
cheese.
What can I get for you, hon?
What can I get for
you? You're playing What's-Her-Face from the Southern Cooking Show right
Yeah,
now.
It's Paula Deen. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Culver's.
You said you can find Culver's all over the Midwest, but it started in Wisconsin because Wisconsin is the mecca for fat fucks who love to drink.
Oh, for dessert, we got a pecan pie dunked in nacho cheese, rolled in Dorito batter, deep fried and covered in chocolate sauce.
Here's a pancake ham sandwich covered in asbestos, ice cream, Lego pieces, gummy worms, Fruity Tooties, Eskimo pies, moon pies. Alf pies.
Then we top it
Ninja
off.
Turtle pies.
Then we top it off with a real spaghetti-o, SpaghettiOs sauce reduction.
It's fucking awful.
And if that isn't enough, we just pour Pepsi right on top of it.
Did you ever like sit down and have a meal that like you felt dumber?
I did.
After eating it?
I felt
any meal I overeat.
It's one of those meals when you're like,
Anthony, you're one of those people that's like you blacked out and eaten just like a plate of nachos that should not have been eaten like a.
It wasn't a plate. It was the whole baking tray, about 4 inches thick, full of nachos.
Because I remember one time I made a bacon double cheeseburger with grilled cheese buns.
For the buns.
Yeah, for the buns.
Each bun was a grilled cheese.
And by the end, I was like, people were calling me up and they're like, hey, man, what you up to? And I was like, blah.
My friends always tell me.
I don't want to fucking move.
My friends always tell me, you know, because I don't drink and I've never been drunk. But my friends always tell me that when I've eaten as much as I have and they've eaten it with me, they're like, you know what it feels like to be drunk.
Yeah, it's like
because your brain just
sedation.
Like slows down and you're just like, all my blood is in my stomach. And I'm like just fucking laughing at things.
Like, I saw this burger on Food Network where they took a regular hamburger, split it in half, then filled it with American, like four slices of American cheese piled on top in like a little mountain, and then put the other half on top of it and closed it like a pie and then grilled it. So when you open it up, it's just this molten lava ball of cheese.
Oh my God.
Sounds amazing.
And then I did that, but then I put more cheese on top of it.
And you made this?
Yes, I made it.
Wow.
And the whole time I'm eating, I'm like, I feel so fucking gross.
Was this when you were fat?
No, this is when I was thin. I just decided to
this
try.
Was last weekend?
Yeah. But then, like, when I was fat one day, I was really depressed, and I didn't have any food in the house because I was fat. And all I had was, like, cereal and Coke.
I like where this is going.
And I'm like, fuck it.
Like cereal with Coke
yes.
on it?
Yes, yes. And I had Corn Pops and Coke, and...
That's why they have thisiswhyyourfat.com.
Yeah.
Jesus.
When I get depressed, I also do some serious
binge eating.
Yeah.
Like what do you eat when you're depressed?
Like I'll be like, well, I guess I'll
stop trying to play footsie with me.
I guess I'll order a pizza, and then while we're going to pick up the pizza from the pizza place, we'll stop by the burrito shop and grab a burrito. Yeah. And if that's not good enough, we'll grab a pie on the way back.
I had friends that would do like the 3 fast food drive-through run. It would be like, yeah, we're going to go to McDonald's for a Big Mac and then turn around the corner and get a Frosty and fries from Wendy's and then pull around here and get like a po' boy.
Yeah,
from
but
Popeyes.
That's not
and
so
And then we're
going to
put it inside of a taco shell from Taco Bell and just eat it all at
we
once.
We also used to, there was a funny time, me and my friends, none of us were stoned, by the way. We all had.
That's the name of my book.
We all had $20 bills. Each of us. There were 4 of us in the car and each of us had a $20 bill and no one wanted to pay for everyone else's Taco Bell. So we didn't have 20, a way to break it. So we drove through 4 times. And as we came around the fourth time ordering again, the lady gave us this stupid look and we were like, no, you don't understand. We have 420s. And then we were just like, ah! But none of us were stoned. That was the funny thing. We were just nerds who were trying to play video games, eat late at night. And we were all too poor to buy each other's food.
I thought that you meant you each went through and bought $20 worth of food.
No, we only bought like $3 of food, but we drove in a circle 4 times.
I've gone like drunk with friends to like the McDonald's runs for like a whole party, and everyone just wants shit off the dollar menu.
Yeah.
We pull up and we're like, "Yeah, can we get 42 double cheeseburgers?" And they're like, "Fuck."
In my hometown, they have a limit. You can only order. They'll cut you off.
Really? I would do the asshole thing with my buddies. We would go through the drive-thru and we'd order a shitload of food. And then at the end, they'd be like, do you want anything to drink? And we say, I want a sarsaparilla. And then they're like, we don't have sarsaparilla. And I'd be like, do you have water? Yeah, we have water. How much is that? It's free. Oh, fuck it. Cancel the order. I just want the water. Drive up.
I used to do that to this lunch lady that had a speech impediment.
Yeah.
In 7th grade. I would walk in and I'd be like, hey, what types of ice cream do we have available today, Miss Lunch Lady? She'd be like, tip with strawberry salt cake, fudge butter. And I'd be like, can you say the last one again? And then she'd go through all of them and she'd be like, which one would you like? And I was like, oh, none of those. None of those. None of those sound even remotely delicious coming out of your mouth.
All right. The next letter is from Zachary. He says, you all talk about funny man Ryan Scott and his off-air vocal fun. Recently, you promised his British one. It says, no, fuck that. I want to hear Ryan Scott do his best impersonation of each member of the podcast.
Oh, that's great. That's good.